Say from your heart, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. That was a poor response. I hope you're happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Praise His name. This is 34 in your hymnal.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. He died. He paid all his due to Just sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, and when I see the blood, best of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do. Just wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass, will pass.
Shake hands with your neighbor this evening. Thankful for his blood. Amen. Several announcements this evening. This month, our youth Bible study for the ages 10 to 14 years of age will be on Thursday, July the 25th. That's from 7:30 to 9:30. And then the following evening, there'll be a youth Bible study here at the church for ages 15 to 30, single, never been married. And that's Friday, July the 26th at 7:30 and 9:30. 10 to 14 will be the previous evening. And the church has rented a gym for our youth, ages 10 to 30, single, never been married, from 6 to 9 p.m. on that same Saturday, following the Thursday and Friday, Saturday, July the 27th, at the Southern Indiana Sports Center in New Albany. Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan will be having a meeting for the parents at church from 6:30 to 8:30 that Saturday evening as well. This will allow the parents plenty of time to drop off their children at the gym before the parents' meeting and pick them back up afterwards. The address of the gym is listed on the upcoming services calendar of the church website for anyone who needs that address. And Lord willing, for our Labor Day meetings, Brother Jack Duff will be ministering for those meetings. This will include our August Youth Bible Study, Thursday, August the 29th, a special service Friday evening, August the 30th, and both of our services on Sunday, September the 1st. We will also be having a pitch-in meal on Saturday, August the 31st, and then a special singing service that evening. So sure looking forward to those saints from Brother Jack's church coming up and what the Lord has for us then. So had several testimonies here. After requiring enzyme injections for the first 2 years of her life because her body was not producing enzymes, Peyton Bryant's doctor said this week that her body is starting to produce its own enzymes. This is truly a miracle and an answer to prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. A testimony here from Sister Christy here in Bassac. My cousin Nicole that I stood in prayer for has been on a new cancer medication. The doctors told her this week that her tumors have shrunk 50%. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. We serve an almighty God. He's an on-time God. Amen. Sister Faith has given us an update here. I would like to give a praise report. Our neighbor's daughter, Pam, who recently had a stroke, has improved greatly in the last few days. I so wanted to give God all the glory for his healing power and thank each one of you for your prayers. Pam is now able to speak again, sit up, and her left arm is gaining in mobility. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless, Sister Faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sure appreciate those testimonies. That's encouraging for our faith. Please remember Sister Carol Jackson in prayer. She's been having back issues. And please pray for Rhonda. A friend of mine is having heart issues, and that's from Sister Sizemore. Definitely want to remember those in prayer. Also, a prayer request for Brother Wade Byerly. He has poison ivy or something similar on his face while pulling weeds. He got some on his face while pulling weeds, and his eyes are almost swollen shut. So you can only imagine that that's quite miserable. The lady that cuts Brother Nathan's hair requested prayer for her brother-in-law, David Leach. He had a heart attack and is on life support. Doctors think he will be brain dead if he survives. They have to decide about taking him off life support on Friday. So definitely want to remember them in prayer. Please remember Brother Joshua Johnson in prayer. He's having back pain, and I know also that one of his uncles is on hospice. I haven't gotten an update on the uncle, but just want to remember the uncle and that family in prayer as well. You have any unspoken prayer requests you'd like to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand? Amen. God bless you. Brother Trevor, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Amen. Good to be home. Still don't think I have full voice back yet, but after, yelling at kids at BYC and then preaching it in Canada and just worshiping the Lord, but we're just thankful to be back. I had a really good time on our trip. For myself, I could have spent a few more days in Canada, I think, and had really good fellowship with the believers there. So, but let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for how good you are to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, to start off a meeting with three or more testimonies, Lord. Lord, maybe these things weren't instantaneous in coming. Maybe there was a lot of trials that went along with it. Maybe it was a couple of years of constant needs, Lord Jesus. But yet, through it all, you still come and you're there with us through every trial. Lord, for every, just as that poem talks about, Lord, how true it is that we look back sometimes and see a single set of footprints and wonder what's going on, and that's when you reply, Lord, that's when I was carrying you through that trial. Lord, you're always there. We don't always see it. We don't always understand it, Lord, but you're always there, Lord, and you're more powerful than we can ever even think or imagine, Lord, and Lord, often you're just there waiting for us to trust and to ask in faith. Lord, so we just want to tell you, we trust you tonight. We trust you with all that we are, all that we have. Lord, we're fully reliant upon you for everything that we have and that we are, Lord. We love you, and We just want you in our lives so much more. You are what make us complete and whole, oh God. Lord, for these requests, this one, you know, very serious, Lord, that has this heart attack of the person that Brother Nathan knows there. Lord, if it was our son, if it was our brother, if it was, you know, someone we knew really well, how, Father, how we would want someone to just intercede. So, Father, why would we do any different, Lord, even though we may not know this person well? Father, have mercy in this situation. Lord, you're the only one that can. You're the only one with the power. So we yield it to you, Lord, and ask you to come and touch. Father, for our brother Wade, Lord, Lord, would you... He's just been hit with a few things this year, Lord. Would you just have mercy, Lord? Bring swift and speedy recovery to him, Lord Jesus. Lord, give him a strength on the inside to just push through it, Lord God, and take those symptoms away, Lord. We ask it for our brother in faith standing together, oh God. Lord, for the other requests, Lord Jesus, Lord, you know all about them. And Lord, we just put them in your great and powerful hands. Lord, just thinking there's a couple of our young people at camp this week. Lord, would you just touch them in a special way? Speak to their hearts. Encourage them, Lord. May they come back to church on Sunday with just a praise in their heart and on their lips, Lord Jesus, that they would just be infectious, Lord, with the love of Christ on them. Lord, bless this service now. Speak to us individually, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This time we have a special from some of Brother Norbert's children, Sister Grace and Eljonai and Sharon. I hope I said that properly. If they want to make their way up here, prepare for them to sing. Amen. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Seigneur, tu es si précieux pour moi. Seigneur, tu es si précieux pour moi. Et je t'aime, oui, je t'aime. Seigneur, tu es si précieux pour moi. Seigneur, tu es si précieux pour moi. Et je t'aime, oui, je t'aime, parce que tu m'aimes le premier. Et je t'aime.
God bless you. Sure appreciate that. Amen. This time, Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright, Sister Anna Pierce, and Sister Leah Leek have a special. So God bless you. Appreciate our special singing tonight. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. The brothers would please come at this time. Sang this song quite a bit last week, and it just blessed me, so I thought I'd try to sing it here. So you guys help me out. I believe you know it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been saved. God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good. Secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, oh amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God
stand and sing it to Him.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing.
Aren't you thankful for His grace tonight? You know, I've heard that song sang for many years, but I never heard it quite like I heard it on Tuesday night last week when we were praying for a couple of teenage girls that some demonic oppression and things and demonic possession exposing itself there in front of a group of young people, and to see a young teenage girl get delivered and to stand up as they was playing that song and start singing, "My chains are gone. I've been set free." Amen. Until you've been set free, you can't really sing it like that. But when you've been set free, amen, you can sing it. Amen. Aren't you thankful that you've been set free tonight? Amen. God bless you. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2 tonight, if you would. Genesis chapter 2, and just want to read the first two verses there tonight. We want to pick back up on this yield series that we had been looking at for a while on our Wednesday night services, and want to look at this kind of a sub-thought, I guess, of rest tonight, or a juniper tree. But want to look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 to begin with. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made." Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach Your throne humbly tonight, Lord, I just ask that You'd be with each and every need that is represented here tonight. Lord, be with each and every individual, Lord, that are here. Lord, those that are maybe listening in, those that might go back and hear it later, Father, I ask that you'd be with them, help them, be with those that wanted to be here, Lord, but couldn't due to travels or sickness, Father. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out amongst us tonight, Lord, and no doubt there may be questions or trials that people are facing, and Lord, I just ask that you'd move on the scene again tonight and help us, Lord. Each and every one of us need help. Lord, I ask that you, Lord, be with Brother and Sister Hoover as they're traveling. Protect them. Give them traveling mercies, Father. Bring them back to us safely, Lord. And the different ones that are sick in body, Lord, be with Brother Joshua. Touch him and heal his back, Father. And Lord, the needs that were represented here tonight, Lord, by requests that were made known or by the uplifting of hands. Thank you for all the testimonies that we heard tonight, Lord, of your healing power. Lord, we know what you've done for others. You can do for us as well. Lord, we just ask you to encourage our hearts tonight. Strengthen us, Father, for the journey. And Lord, we just commit this service into your hands. May it be for your glory. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way, the thoughts and the trials of the day, and just to focus on what you have for us tonight. Be with each one that's here as well. Lord, may they, as the hearers, be able to lay aside, Lord, the struggles of the day and the pressures of life for a little while as we talk about your word. Lord, may it be something that would encourage them when they'd go from here, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Amen. Good to have all of our travelers back with us that have been gone for a while at different places. As Brother Trevor mentioned, he was gone to BYC camp and then up to Saskatchewan camp and different ones traveling different places. But good to have most of the Wednesday night crowd back with us. And just want to look at this thought for a little while. And, you know, in looking at this, as I begin to read Genesis chapter 2 recently, we find that God in spirit form, when he created the heavens and the earth, as we've looked at it many times, and he would begin to speak where there was nothing, there was no molecule that he could build from, there was no atom that he could build from, yet by the spoken word, he would begin to create, and light would spring forth, animal life would spring forth, planets would spring forth, the sun and the moon and the stars would spring forth, the earth that we're standing on tonight, and all of the wood and the grass and everything that we would see, the seeds of those things would begin to spring forth by the spoken word. And after the 6,000 years of creation that God would speak these things, yet Brother Branham said back in the beginning when he said, let there be, and there was, he said that might have been millions or billions of years. But when he began to create life on this earth, he was 6 days in creating it, or 6,000 years, as we know that a thousand years in God's eye is just a day. So the 6,000 years of creation that he took doing this, he could have, no doubt, in his power and his wisdom, he could have spoken, it could have all just came together in a moment's time, but I believe he had a purpose in doing it that way, as it would type other things that were going to come in the future, and type the different days of man and different things that we would face, and it would type perfectly the rest, and as he would go into the eighth day, it would type a millennium and different things that we would see. But yet on the seventh day, we find that God rested from his works, and in doing this you look at it and you think, God in spirit form, he wasn't tired. God in that form, in this form of spirit, he doesn't get tired, he doesn't get weary, he doesn't have to go after he's answered about 5 billion prayers, he doesn't have to go and take a vacation. But yet God in spirit form would rest, and you might ask yourself tonight, why would God do that? Why would God rest in spirit form when he wasn't tired? But I find in the scriptures, when we look at something that God is doing, even though we may not fully understand it or comprehend it, that God, when he does something, whether it be in the supernatural or the natural, God is doing something for an example to us. He said when he washed the disciples' feet there in St. John chapter 13, as we looked at it Sunday night, he said, I've given you an example. So God, when he rests on the seventh day, he's not resting because God in spirit form got exhausted and had to take a breather, or because he'd been so busy that he needed a vacation, but he's giving us an example. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus in body form now, the Word being made flesh. And when he would pray for the multitudes and the sick, now in a flesh body, he could get tired. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around sometimes, but Jesus, the man, could get tired. Brother Branham said he could get sick. He could sit down beside a rock with a headache, and he could get so tired that he could go and sleep in the back of a boat, and the storms and the winds and the waves wouldn't wake him up because he was so fatigued from his ministry. And so Jesus, the man, Jesus, the flesh, God, amorphate in a human tabernacle, would take a rest. Brother Branham says in Awakening Jesus in 1963, oh, you say now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. Brother Branham, getting a little off the line now. Jesus didn't have to rest. Yes, he did. The Bible said that God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and the seventh he rested. Certainly he rested. Jesus, being tired, laying on the boat, he was asleep and resting. Now he sends out the disciples, which is a scriptural pattern here. He begins to send out the disciples, and in Mark chapter 6, they go and they begin to cast out evil spirits and to heal the sick, and they come back. And Mark chapter 6, verse 12 says, they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And you drop down to verse 30, and it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, you know, there's times when Brother Trevor or myself will go out and preach somewhere, or Brother Layton or Brother Hoover, and we'll get back together and begin to fellowship with each other, and we'll be able to share testimonies of things, what the Lord did in the prayer lines and what we taught while we was there. But can you imagine getting back together when you got back home from a meeting, Brother Jimmy, and sitting down with the Lord Jesus in flesh and begin to tell him, oh my, you wouldn't believe, Brother Lee, what happened over here in Cana of Galilee. You wouldn't believe what happened down here in Jericho, and you wouldn't believe what happened over here in this city. And he, no doubt he could say, I know all about it. I saw it before you ever went and did it, or I wouldn't have sent you. Amen. I knew all about it. I knew it was going to take place, and I'm glad that you were a yielded vessel that would go. I'm glad that you were a yielded vessel, that even though maybe his message wasn't popular and maybe the works that they were doing wasn't popular, maybe somebody would say, who do you think you are, Peter? Who do you think you are, Matthew or Mark? Or who do you think you are, this one or that one, that you'd go out here, Bartholomew? Who do you think you are that you would do something? When you got Jesus sitting over here, he said, oh, but Jesus sent me. Jesus sent me. Amen. He says in verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but let's go over here. I want to catch a scripture here that St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 11, he said, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we find that if Jesus had to rest, and if the disciples, if he encouraged them and told them that they had to rest, you know what? There's something about us as human beings. We need to rest as well. Now, I know Brother Branham teaches us, and we're not Sabbatarians, that we believe that, you know, on the Sabbath day, which the Jewish people and the Seventh-day Adventists consider to be the Saturday, that we have to take off and we do that way. Nor is it so much, although we honor the resurrection and things like that, it's not so much of a keeping of days. But Brother Branham said, what was the rest that we would enter into? He refers back over there to the book of Isaiah, how he said, with stammering lips and with other tongues, I'll speak to this people. And this is the rest. What was it? The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That was the rest that we would have for our soul. There would be a rest for our soul. Yet, no matter how much you get the Holy Ghost, and no matter how much you're resting in God's word on the soul part of you, yet this flesh out here still needs to get a rest every once in a while as well. Amen. I know we live in such a fast-paced life and such a busy age. You know, we get fast food and we go through the line and they deliver it to us quick. And we eat it so quick that we get indigestion. And everything is so fast-paced and fast this and got to go here and got to go there. And every minute of your schedule, of your waking hours, is just scheduled down in such a way that you hardly have time to breathe. But if Jesus had to rest, and if the disciples had to rest, and if a prophet of God in this age had to rest, then I want to encourage you, rest. Amen. I'm talking spiritual, the soul, the spirit, the body, the whole thing. We need rest. Amen. Now on the soul, on the inward man, it doesn't matter how busy we are on the outside, we ought to be able to rest in the promises of God. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and no matter how busy you are, how complicated your life is, or how fast-paced things are going, or how much the devil's trying to upset your life, you can still rest down in your soul knowing that Jesus paid a price and that he's taking care of it for us and that we have a perfect word for this age, and we're resting down on the inside of the soul. I thank God for that. I hope that we're all to that place tonight. But I don't want to just look at the supernatural side of it tonight. But I want to look at as far as actually taking a rest. Because many times the devil will beat you up and try to tell you, you don't need to do that. That's selfish of you to do that. Was it selfish of Jesus with little crippled babies and people with leprosy and people blind and halt and lame that he could have been out there healing? And here he gets in a boat and he gets away from everybody with his disciples. Was he being selfish? There's no selfishness in Jesus. I've never found that verse. Be ye therefore selfish as I, your Father, am selfish. I've never found that verse in the scripture. He wasn't selfish, but he was using wisdom, and he was also doing what the Spirit was leading him and guiding him to do. And the same Spirit that could lead him down to the pool of Bethesda where there was multitudes, which Brother Branham teaches us that a multitude is 1,000 or 2,000 people, where there was multitudes of people laying there, lame, crippled, halt, blind, withered, and they were laying there waiting for the moving of the water, and he would go and he would be so led of the Spirit that he would go to a specific man and he would heal that man, and then there's no record that he healed anybody else there. Why? Because he was led by the Spirit. Amen. He wasn't like a lot of preachers today that was naming and claiming, and they would have tried to go out and heal all 6,000 of them or however many there was laying there. But he was led by the Spirit. And if the Spirit led him out in the wilderness, he went. If the Spirit led him to the city, he went. If the Spirit led him on the backside of a boat to get some rest, he went. Amen. We do a lot better off to be led by the Spirit instead of led by our schedules or led by guilt trips by people or whatever it would be. You know, for a long time, I felt guilty, you know, taking a vacation anytime unless I was preaching about 5 or 6 or 7 times while I was on the vacation, because I felt like that was selfish of me, Brother Jimmy. And finally, a good godly man by the name of Brother Danny Steeman pulled me aside one day and said, Brother Nathan, you're going to have a nervous breakdown if you don't slow down and take a vacation. Amen. I thank God for placing people in our lives like that that have wisdom. Amen. Because Brother Ben tells us, and we'll look at it, he said, sometimes people try to run too hard and too fast, and he said, you found them broke down on the side of the road somewhere. You find them broke down, a nervous breakdown or a physical break, a mental break, whatever it would be. Why? Because trying to do too much on their own instead of being led by the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. Now this man, here he is, he's had a Mount Carmel experience, Brother Arnie. He's called fire down out of heaven, and it's consumed the sacrifice. He stood there and he's challenged the false prophets of Baal and said, hey, if your God is God, let him answer by fire. But if Jehovah is God, let him answer by fire. And the God that answers by fire, let's worship that God. I think that's a fair argument this evening. Let the God that's really God, let him answer by fire. And so he begins to speak this way, and they get all excited and emotional and cut themselves and do all kinds of things, and they build an altar just like he did, and they do all these things, and my, they begin to try to run and jump and holler and call on their God. And he said, oh, maybe he's taking a vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. Oh, my, I'm glad Elijah had a sense of humor. Makes me feel a little better about myself, Brother Lee. Makes me not feel so bad. He had a little bit of a sense of humor. You know, Brother Bam said God had a sense of humor. Amen. Even Jesus in a flesh body. Brother Bam said he had a sense of humor. Said, go tell that fox. Amen. So we thank God. Sometimes if you don't have a sense of humor, you lose your mind in the pressures and stress and things that we have. If you can't stop and laugh every once in a while at everything going on, then you'd be in a terrible state. But Elijah, he, after they get done with all that they're trying to do, he begins to place the stones back up on the altar that they'd kicked down and hollered down. And he begins, he says, oh, look, we're not asking for gasoline or kerosene. Come and bring me some water and pour it on the altar. And they begin to wash the sacrifice and they begin to pour bucket after bucket of water on it until even the trench was full of water. And God came down such a consuming fire. He didn't just burn the sacrifice. He didn't just burn the wood. He didn't just burn the water that was around it or the water in the trench, but he even burned up the stones and everything that was there, consumed the whole thing, water and all. Amen. You know, we believe in a God that, well, he can deliver me from cigarettes. I guess he's that strong. But this old temper in my life or this thing over here, I guess he's just not, that old stubbornness that I was inherited from my great-great-granddaddy, I guess he's just not strong enough to take that away. Oh, when the fire falls on your altar, on your sacrifice of praise sometime, he can burn up every problem. He can burn up every temptation. He can burn up everything that you inherited genetically, whether it be sickness or trials or temptations or whatever it be. He's an all-consuming fire. Amen. Amen. Give him a little more credit tonight than our intellectual ability wants to. And in all this, he would go and he would slay the prophets of Baal. And Jezebel would get so mad and stomp her little spoiled foot. And she said, my, so be to me and more. If he's not dead by this time tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Now, goodness, this is the difference between being under the anointing and out from under the anointing. Because there's times when you're under the anointing, you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall and call fire down out of heaven. And you get out from under that and you feel like you couldn't preach your way out of a wet paper bag, and like you might not be saved or predestinated or bride or anything else. And Elijah had gotten this condition to where he could call fire down out of heaven, and he could kill the prophets of Baal there by himself. And then at the threat of one woman, he runs back and hides. But he gets himself under a juniper tree and he begins to feel sorry for himself. And he asked that he might die and said, it's not enough. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Oh, that's where we find ourselves sometimes, because we're trying to do it on our own. And Elijah knew on his own he was no match for Jezebel. He was no match for Ahab and his army and all that. And so he pulls himself back in a cave and he just wants to give up. What dost thou hear, Elijah? 1959, Brother Bram said, pastor here knows, and other ministers, watch after your Mount Carmels, you're going to have a juniper tree. Whenever a man has a blessing and the power of God pours down and does something for you, look out, Satan's on the track. Just remember the next day, that Monday after a good day on Sunday, it's going to be a hard thing, because he's going to do everything he can to knock that confidence out of you that the Holy Spirit instilled in you the day before. Oh my, when the Holy Spirit begins to move and do something for you, and then you wake up on Monday and you're facing the same old trials and the same old job and the same old boss and the same old family members that are going to criticize, and the same old message people that are halfway believers and they don't believe that God really could do something for you. And my, you preached your heart out, or you witnessed your heart out, or you sang your heart out, and you get up the next morning and Satan says, it didn't make no difference. You didn't do nothing for God. You're just fooling yourself. It doesn't matter how many testimonies you can give him. He's not a believer. He's not going to believe. You know what is it? Brother Bam said, believers just believe. Unbelievers, they don't believe. Make believers, they're going to make believe. Amen. But there's something about a real believer. They're going to believe. They're going to believe when the sun's shining, and they're going to believe when the dark clouds are out there. They're going to believe on the mountaintop, and they're going to believe down in the valley of the shadow. Why? Because they're believers. But that don't mean Satan won't get on your back. You can preach the most anointed. Some of you minister brothers sitting here tonight, you know how it is. You can preach the most anointed sermon you ever preached, feel like you could run through a troop and leap over the wall, and people being healed and delivered and victories. And my, you just know that it was from God. And Monday morning, the devil will send somebody by your way to say, who do you think you are anyhow? You're not helping nobody. That wasn't that great a sermon. I've heard better sermons. That wasn't that great a deal. You're just a failure. You're just a nobody. Who do you think you are? Amen. I'm one of the redeemed. That's who I am. Amen. I didn't redeem myself. I didn't pull myself up by my bootstraps and do this, but Jesus Christ loved me enough to come and give his life for me. And I figure if he loved me that much, Brother Jimmy, he loves me enough to take me through the rest of the way. Amen. Somebody help me give the devil a black eye tonight. Amen. He loves to come to you like that. You don't have to be a preacher. You can come to church and accept your healing. And Monday, you might feel worse than you did on Saturday. Brother Bram said, it's the best sign that you're healed. Why? Because the devil's mad and he's right on your track. But you don't have to accept your symptoms. You don't have to accept the lie of the devil. Why? What is it? Satan's there. As soon as you have that Mount Carmel, as soon as you have that victory, he said, you better watch it. You got a juniper tree coming. But you know, there's something about the juniper tree that even though Elijah, because of the condition that he went into the juniper tree, it looked like a negative thing. By the time he came out from under the juniper tree, the picture had changed completely. Don't you love how God can do that? Even in our ignorance, even in our weakness, even in our inability, yet God can take something. Here Elijah goes and he lays down under this juniper tree and said, oh, just let me die. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm nobody. I guess Jezebel's just right about me. Oh, poor pitiful me. And he was so wore out and he was so tired and so stressed out from his ministry. But God didn't say, oh, you stupid thing. You know, you just complaining all the time. I'm going to cast you away to hell. Brother Branham said, what do you think about poor little Elijah? What do you think about him there tired and weary? And God said he didn't send a demon to torment him. He said he found the angel with the softest hands and said, go down and caress his face a little while. Let him sleep a little while and get some rest. What does thou hear? 1959, he said, God has to do something for every man that comes under the juniper tree or he'll go to pieces. Anybody else ever feel like that besides me here tonight? If God don't do something for you, you're just going to go to pieces. Oh, but let's read the rest of the story. Let's not leave him there asking God to take his life. Let's read on a little further. Verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You know, sometimes Sunday mornings you don't feel like it, but maybe an angel just comes and says, you better go on to church anyhow. I got something for you to eat down there. It's going to encourage you. It's going to give you strength for the rest of the week. It's going to give you strength for your journey. Oh, you might not feel like turning on a tape tonight, but why don't you listen a little bit before you go to bed? It's going to give you some vitamins and some strength that you need for the journey. Oh, I know you got a busy schedule, but take some time out and read your Bible and talk to the Lord today, because it's going to give you some energy for the journey. Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Where did it come from? Where did it come from, Brother Lee? Spiritual food in due season. Amen. Water from the rock. Amen. Fresh manna. Aren't you glad we still got some of it in this age? Oh, glory. I feel like I can preach tonight, Brother Jimmy. Bacon on a coal and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Oh my, there's something about it. When you get into the Word, you don't have to worry about it and stress about it and stay up all night wondering if you got it figured out right. You can just eat and rest and eat and rest and eat and rest again. Oh my, it won't stress you, it'll bless you. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. You know, I believe God's still got some spiritual vitamins like that if we just take the time to fill up every once in a while. The problem is, many times we're emptying out and we're giving out, and that's wonderful. Jesus did that too. But you know what? He'd lay down on the back of a boat somewhere and rest up a little bit and take in some too. You know, you can only give out as much as you have in to give. Amen. You know, for Brother Trevor and Brother Arnie and Brother Layton and myself and Brother Hoover, the different brothers, if we never studied, if we never prayed, if we never read a quote or read our Bibles or never listened to a tape, we'd get up here and we wouldn't have much to give out. But I found out the more that you can soak in, the more the Holy Spirit will anoint you when you get up in the pulpit to give out. Now, let's just not talk about the preachers tonight, but I want to say the same thing to you. The more you lay in the Word, maybe you say, I don't know what to say to the man on my job. I don't know what to say to my backslidden loved one. I don't know what to say to the sinner out here in the street. Well, if you'd soak in a little more, maybe you'd have a little more to give out. What hearest thou, Elijah, 1959? Remember, if you've done your best, God's still got those angels in order. He loves you just the same as he loved Elijah. Now, I know a lot of message folks don't believe that tonight, but here's a man with the spirit of Elijah telling us that the same God that loved Elijah loves you the same to send those same kind of angels by your way to where when you're tired and you're weary, they'll bring a little encouragement your way. What hearest thou, Elijah? Again, 1959, we need a juniper tree. He said, I preach to tired people, nervous people. Pray for nervous people. And it's a nervous, neurotic, upset world right now that we're living in. 1959. What would he say today? What would he say today? It's a nervous, neurotic, upset world now that we're living in. Everybody's just on edge as to say or to speak, like it's just any little thing so upsets them. You know anybody like that? Are you somebody like that? It's a nervous, neurotic, upset world that we're living in right now. He said, everybody's just on edge as to say or to speak, like it's just any little thing so upsets them. Why? Because we live under pressures and we live under tension. I want to read the rest of the quote before I go on, because he doesn't just say that it's the world out there, but he says God's people is that way. The world is that way. We all need a juniper tree, a place to rest. Amen. Now he tells us again, in what hearest thou, Elijah, 1959, all of us have a little place we go to when we get in those troubles. I got a little cave that the FBI couldn't find me that I get into. Stay in there for 2 or 3 days. Have to wade up a creek, up over a hill, through a branch, go under a tree, and down into a cave. Now, I know there's a couple brothers here tonight that if that was the only place you could get a hold of God, you probably wouldn't talk to him very often. But he didn't say all of us had to do that. He didn't say we all had to go find his cave or find a cave, but he said all of us has a place like that. All of us have a little place we go to when we get in those troubles. My, aren't you thankful? If you don't have a place like that, whether you're 5 or whether you're 90, I'd encourage you to find a place like that. It don't have to be a cave. It can be a prayer closet. It can be driving down the road in your car. It can be kneeling at the altar in church. It can be out in the woods somewhere or up in a deer stand or whatever it would be. My, you can find a place like that to get some time with God, to where when you get into a bind where you don't know where to turn or what to do, you can get some relief by getting alone in him for a little while and getting some rest. He said, and there's always somewhere that we can retreat and get in the presence of God again. I like that word retreat. You know, there's a difference. You know, he says in one place there, he says, now God never retreats. But when he's talking about retreat there, the word that he's referring to is running the opposite direction away from the battle. This isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about a retreat, like when you would go somewhere and you get away for some rest and relaxation. They call it, I'm going to this retreat over here. Sometimes, you know, there's brothers in the message. They have pastor retreats and you know, song leader retreats and different kinds of retreats and things like that. What is it for? It doesn't mean you're running away from the battle. It means you're taking a little rest for a while. Amen. So don't get me wrong tonight. I don't believe in retreating as far as turning our tail and running, but I do believe in a retreat as far as a rest for God's people, a way to get away in the presence of God again. Recognizing your day and its message, 1964. But then if there's no certain call, and that be his will that I'm to do now for the next couple of months, is to go hunting now to rest myself. He says, you don't realize, the world will never know what I have to go through with, see? And it's just such a strain. No wonder the Lord told his disciples when he was walking with them, come apart into the desert, rest a while. See, I realize that more every day, and especially as my days get more up on this earth, you see. And as I get older, you realize it. He said, you hear our pastor saying amen to that too. We can realize that we're not boys after we pass 50 years old. Now we got to have a little time. We got to have a little time. He says in one place, he said, I'm going out, he said, not so much to hunt, but to rest. He said, I'm getting away to rest, to get a little retreat. And he said, I go back there, and you know, he would get back in the woods or get back in his cave, and he would relax a little while from the pressures of life and the pressures of the people. Oh, I would encourage you tonight, find you a juniper tree. The problem is, many times, you know, we take a vacation And we consider that a little juniper tree rest. We got away and we rested. And usually, what do we do as Americans on vacation? We go nonstop. And we get back and we need a vacation from our vacation. And we walked more miles on our vacation and swam more miles and rode more miles on a bike than we did when we was supposedly so busy and stressed out and working. And we come out tired and weary and needing a vacation from our vacation. It's wonderful to have a vacation. Hey, it's wonderful to swim and to walk and to ride bikes. We'd all probably be better off to do it more and get us some exercise. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a juniper tree. Amen. We all need to have one. Brother Branham says, what is thou here? 1959. You know, Jesus said, come aside into the wilderness and let's rest a while. He said, some of these guys that think you don't have to rest, we find out they burn out pretty quick too. If they don't take a rest, they find themselves wrecked up somewhere. I think that's where our brother Billy Graham is tonight, trying to overshoot the mark. These human bodies are strong, but they need rest. Then you can take a little rest and go somewhere and they'll criticize you. Say, I thought he was a preacher. Look at him out yonder on the bank fishing or something like that. But that doesn't matter. Jehovah will take care of his own. You see, no matter what you do, somebody's going to criticize. Amen. There, no matter what you do, if you preach too much or too long. If you don't preach, you're too lazy and you ought to be preaching more. Doesn't matter what you do. There's going to be somebody to criticize, somebody to find fault. So you know what I'm finding more and more, Brother Trevor, is just to follow the leading of the Lord and let those that are going to criticize, criticize and go on for the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's good advice for a pastor, but you know, it's not just advice for a pastor. It's good advice for you. Amen. Whether you're lay members, whether you're deacons or trustees or musicians or song leaders or whatever it is, do what God leads you to do. People are going to criticize you no matter what you do or where you go to church or how you raise your children or where you go to work or what you do for your hobbies. They're going to criticize you anyhow. If there's anything we can find out about human nature is that people pack around critical spirits, especially in this age. So if I'm going to be criticized, I'd rather be found being criticized for something I did in the name of the Lord and that he was leading me to do than to find something that I was pressured into or felt guilt tripped into, or well, I better do this, or sister so-and-so is going to think this, or I better do this over here, or brother so-and-so is going to misunderstand. I'd rather somebody complain and me know, hey, the Lord led me to do it, let him complain.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We'd all be better off to do that. Just follow him and let all the rest fall off to the left and the right and do what they want and say what they want. Once you know, hey, God led me to do this. God led me to say these things. God led me to do these things. God led me to go over here and do this. God led me to get up and preach this series, or God led me to play this tape, or God led me to go over here and rest for a while, or God led me to go to this person and talk to him and encourage him or whatever it is. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or whether they understand or not. It matters, is God the one doing the leading? Amen. Time of decision, 1959. God's people needs a juniper tree rest. Let's just wait on the Lord. Then we renew our strength as we wait on him. Don't try to do it all. Oh my, that's good advice for message believers tonight. Don't try to do it all. We try to do it all. Lord, I got to do this. I got to help so-and-so. I got to go over here and be here, and I got to be over there, and I got to take the kids here, and I got to go up here and do this, and I got to go over to this meeting and this special camp and this over here, and got to go over here to soccer and soccer practice and baseball practice, and I got to go over here for this interview, and I go over here for this job, and I got to go fellowship with brother so-and-so, or he's going to get his feelings hurt, and I got to go over here and pray for sister so-and-so in the hospital, and I got to go up here and do this and go over there and do all that. And if he's leading you, that's wonderful. But if you're just doing it so you can say, hey, look how busy my schedule is. Look all that I did for God. You'd be better off resting somewhere waiting on him to lead you. God's people needs a juniper tree rest. Let's just wait on the Lord. Then we renew our strength as we wait on him. Don't try to do it all. Now, Brother Branham here, he says, you know, he didn't have any direct leading. And so he's going to go for a few weeks or a few months or however the Lord leads. And he's going to go into the woods and he's going to squirrel hunt and do all these things. Maybe go up out west and hunt out there, whatever it be. And what is he going to do? He's going to get out there. And as he said, he wasn't just going out there to hunt. He wasn't just going out there so that we could go into his den and say, oh my, what a great trophy. But he's going out there so he can bring back some experiences that he had with God. And you can hear it on the tapes when he comes back. And he's beginning to share things that happened to him out there in the wilderness and how God would begin to speak to him and things that he would see in nature. And he would bring that back and share it with the people. But, you know, if you don't ever go and soak in a little bit of what God's wanting to do for you, you don't have anything to give out. We wonder, well, Lord, why is it that I'm so just fatigued all the time? And why is it that I don't seem like I can help nobody? And all my works and all this and all my going about just seems like it falls flat and nobody appreciates it. Well, did the Lord tell you to go, or are you just running without a message? Brother Bram talks about that too, you know. I found that if I don't feel like God's going to do something extraordinary, and it's just going to be what Brother Branham called a protracted meeting. Hey, we've got a church here. I've got a pulpit. I don't have to go anywhere. If God, I don't feel like, is in it and inspiring it and leading me and guiding me, I'd be better off right here just fellowshipping with you all. If I don't have a sermon on my heart, I got four other minister brothers here that pull right along with us. I've got 1,200 tapes, you know. God has some wonderful things for us. God has some wonderful things for us, and we should be thankful. But if he's leading me to go, I don't care who guilt trips me and says, we'd like to see you back here, I'm going to go where he leads me. Amen. If he leads me to pull off for a little bit, you know, you couldn't have handled Jesus as a pastor because he slipped away for 40 days and 40 nights one time to pray through. A lot of you couldn't have handled Jesus as a pastor. I'm not taking a 40-day and 40-night vacation that I know of, but if he leads me to, I will. And you'll be better off and I'll be better off if he leads me to. Amen. Brother Trevor and you know, some of these evangelist brothers, if God leads you to rest, don't feel guilty because you're not in Africa or South America or somewhere preaching the gospel. If God's leading you to rest, you'll be more productive resting than you would be out somewhere. Amen. I'm not just preaching to preachers tonight. You read yourself in tonight too. Amen. You don't have to just stay so busy as an individual that, well, I got to do something with my time. You know, a lot of times we're just nervous type people that we feel like if we're not doing something that we're just, oh my, well, I'll just be so bored. And so, well, when you get bored, I've got some advice for you. When you're at home and my, there's nothing on the schedule and you turn around and you don't have anything to do and you're just so bored, don't just pick up your smartphone and go to Facebook or Instagram, but pick up your Bible. Say, Lord, you know what? I don't remember the last time I was bored. I got 3 hours to kill here. I could spend an hour reading my Bible, an hour praying, and an hour listening to a tape. Lord, I'm not going to be bored. I'm going to use my time wisely. Amen. Meditate on him. Meditate on his word. You know, I believe in meditation. I'm not talking about Eastern meditation to sit out here both cross-legged with your fingers out humming to something or talking or chanting or anything like that. But I believe in meditating in God's word. Amen. David said, I meditate on his word day and night. Amen. I wonder how often we could say that we meditate on it. Why? Because we stay so busy. What hearest thou, Elijah? 1959, again, he says, I'm so glad that there is a juniper tree. When we get all wore and tore up, we can go under that juniper tree and find spiritual vitamins to travel any kind of a trip. See, Satan wants to get you so wore down and so beat up that you can't hardly lift your head off your pillow. You can't hardly drag yourself into church. You can't hardly be a help to anybody because he's got you so strung out and so strung thin and so busy running here and there and everywhere. I think it's time that some of us as believers should start prioritizing our schedule a little bit more. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm just so busy. There's nothing I could remove from my schedule. Well, I would take a step back. Why don't you go home and do it tonight? It'll be a nice little exercise for you. Look at your calendar for the whole month and see everything that you have planned and scheduled and say, Lord, every one of these items, which one have eternal value and which ones don't? And see how busy you really are. And if all of them on your schedule are 90 or 95% of them are just earthbound things that aren't going to matter and nobody's going to remember 6 months down the road, maybe you should reorganize your schedule a little bit. Make sure you've got some prayer time in there and some tape time in there and some church time in there and some time reading your Bible in there and some time doing something that God has specifically led you to do, not just something that, well, I guess I better visit so-and-so in the hospital because it's the good Christian thing to do, but take enough time with him to seek him and let him lead you to do something specific and keep some time out on your schedule for when he leads you to those specific things. Well, I can tell as quiet as it's getting in here tonight, I'm at the right church tonight. Amen. Don't think I'm just preaching to the congregation tonight. I'm preaching to the preacher too. Amen. There's times that we need to take a step back and say, Lord, fill me back up so that I can be a help to somebody else. Let me take that time. And if you don't understand, if I go and do those things and you don't understand, just pray for me, okay? I'm not doing it selfishly. I'm doing it so that I don't wind up in a hospital out here with a nervous breakdown. You don't have a pastor for 6 months. Amen. This isn't a pity party tonight. But I have pressures too. I know you've got pressures. Every one of you sitting out here has pressures too. Amen. Pastoring a church in New Albany, Indiana, it comes with a little bit of pressure. Not a whole lot, Brother David, but a little bit. And so there's a little bit of pressure that if I don't get away and ask God to help me every once in a while and ask His leadership and His guidance on what to preach and who to have in and what tapes to play and how to use these local minister brothers for the edification of the local body and all these different things, if I don't get away and do that every once in a while, I won't be a very good pastor. I won't be a very good husband. I won't be a very good daddy. I won't be a very good friend. Why? Because I'm wound so tight, I feel like I'm about to explode. And don't just think I'm talking about pastors. Every one of you sitting here tonight, if you'll be honest with yourself, know that you get in those conditions too. Why? Because Satan will try to pour everything he can on you. And when it rains, it pours, and everything will hit at once, and you'll feel like your brain's about to explode. And then, what are you? You're quick to snap at your wife? Me and Brother Lee, I guess, are the only ones that have ever done that. You're quick to snap at your children? You're quick to snap at that person that's just trying to walk across the parking lot and greet you at church. Why? You're so quick on the trigger because you're wound so tight that you're about to explode. But let's see what Jesus tells us in St. Matthew 11, 28. He gives us some advice. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. Amen. Anybody got a heavy burden tonight? A heavy load that you're carrying? Heavy circumstances in your life or in your family or around the church, around the message or at your job or at your school. You got some heavy things going on in your life. You that are labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. My advice to you tonight would be to take his advice. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're, you know, just about bowed down and broken down with the weights of everything that's going on in your family and your financial situation, your health situation, the doctor's told you to do this, and the herbalist told you to do that, and the chiropractor told you to do this, and the surgeon said you better do that, and you're just weighed down with decisions and sickness and trials and all kinds of things in your life, and little family upsets and little upsets around the message and all kinds of pressures from your boss, pressures from your job, pressures from your school, and you just feel so heavy laden. Come unto him and let him give you some rest. Take his yoke upon you. Stop letting the devil try to put his yoke of Laodicea on you, and take the yoke of Jesus on you and learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What's he doing? He's giving you an example. He's trying to set an example for you. If he would tell the disciples, hey, you got to come aside and get some rest. You've had these meetings. You've been casting out devils. You've been healing the sick. You've been doing all these things. Come away and get a rest for a little bit. If he'd tell them that way back there in AD 30 or 33 or whenever it was, if he'd tell, what would he tell us in 2019? When Jesus had more weight on him than any of us could imagine. He had the whole weight of the world on him going to Calvary. But those men back there in AD 30 and AD 33 and back there in that time frame, as far as mental battles and things, they didn't face a drop in the bucket of what we face in this age as far as mental oppression. Now, physically, they were facing, you know, maybe persecution and things more than we ever will. But as far as a mental battle, what did Brother Bram say? He said every generation weaker and wiser and more temptation and more oppression and things. So the things that you're facing tonight, I know that might seem hard for you to swallow, but it's the word. If you go back and look at it, the things that we're facing in that way, we're in an intellectual age and an age of technology and things to where we're oppressed and bombarded, and you know, we don't have as much time as they did sitting back there. They took time out and they'd sit in the back of the boat and go and have a testimony on the sea. And you know, where would we find time for that in our schedule? I hope you find time somewhere to get alone with him a little while, to get alone and talk to him, say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I can't figure it all out on my own. I can't make all these things work together. I can't save everybody. I can't fix everybody. I can't go and do all these things. I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need your leading. I need your guidance. I can't be everywhere. You know, it'd be great if I could clone myself, I guess, and there'd be 20 of me, and I could send myself around and do all that, just assign different ones of me to go and do certain things. I'd get a lot more accomplished, I guess. But I'd be better off just to step back and instead of trying to do it all, say, Lord, where would you lead me to do it? What would you lead me? How would you lead me to go today? We'd all be better off to do that. Oh, but there's still a juniper tree tonight. Amen. Where we can get alone with Jesus. Say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. I need you just to come in and take away. We're not asking him. You know, if all the tension was taken away, Brother Bram said, we'd just be like a noodle and just flop around. So I don't ask him to take away all the tension. But I do want to ask him, Lord, take away the parts that I've just added unnecessarily to myself. Because there's a lot of tension that we've just allowed. Amen. I mean, there's some things that we have to have in our life. There's some pressures that we have to have. And until the Lord brings us through or brings us around or delivers us or whatever it is or brings us through that valley or helps us with it or whatever, we're going to have tensions. We're maybe going to have bosses at our work that we don't like. Thankfully, I don't have that problem. Most of you might, but I don't have that problem. My boss, he's meek and lowly, and his yoke is easy, and his burden's light. Amen. He requires a whole lot, but the rewards are extraordinary, too. You know, my 401k has eternal value to it. Anybody else have that option at their work? Amen. It just keeps multiplying.
Amen.
He doesn't have, recessions. It's just always, there's always provisions. But yet, no matter what your situation, there are pressures in our life that we're not going to, unless God just comes and supernaturally does something, there's some pressures that are going to be with us. But there's other pressures many times that we allow because we overcommit ourselves. Say, well, I'll be here. And then we tell Brother so-and-so, well, I'll be here. And we know that we can't make it from here to there when we told them. And so you do like me and you're chronically 5 to 10 to 15 minutes late because you overcommitted yourself. I love how you can tell Brother Trevor is a minister when you're right where you're supposed to be because it gets so quiet. Nobody's running or shouting or amening. And then we get to the end of the day. Oh, Lord, well, I was late everywhere I went, but I got all my commitments taken care of. And now I lay me down to... We don't have time to spend with him. Because we've obligated ourselves to everybody else. And we got done what the boss wanted. And we got done all of our school stuff for the day. And we helped Sister So-and-so out over here. And we ran this errand for Brother So-and-so. And we got the kids together. And we did this, that, and the other. But when it came time for devotions, my, we was just too tired and too weary. And, oh, take his yoke upon you. Let him be Lord. You know, we want him to be Lord of our health. We love him to be Lord of our finances, usually. Lord, bless us with our finances and help us and give us wisdom with our finances. Lord, help us, you know, with our health. Help us with our soul. Save us and deliver us from anything bad. And, oh, we love him to be Lord of those things. But I wonder how many of us would be willing tonight to let him be Lord of our schedule.
Amen.
Will we let him be Lord of our schedule? Say, Lord, before I make anything, before I make any promises, before I write down my agenda and my plan for the week and what I'm going to do this summer and where I'm going to go and all these things, Lord, I'd like to let you have first chance at my schedule. You know, we teach to let him have first place in our life and first place in our finances and first place in all these things, but usually in this age, I think that's where we struggle the most. Can he be Lord of our schedule? Oh, my God, help us. From the pastor on to the back pew to the basement, wherever it would be, may he be Lord of our schedule. You know, we follow a prophet of God that here's how his life would be. And I'm trying to close, but I want to say this before I do because the Lord just laid it on my heart. He would wake up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He had a busy schedule, no doubt. He had things to do, people to go and greet. He had to go get food for his family. He had to go and have meetings that night. He had to get alone and pray and do all these things. But he would wake up and get out of bed. And he would begin to go and look for something to eat with his wife and family. And the angel of the Lord would stop him on the street and say, go in there. Many of us would say, well, Lord, I I don't really like that restaurant. It's not really my preference. I'd rather go down here to so-and-so. And the kids, they'll complain about that. They don't like that style of food. And Sister so-and-so here, she thinks I shouldn't go in there in the first place. And she thinks I'll get trapped back in there, not be able to get out, people wanting to fellowship with me. So, Lord, I think I'd rather go on down here. I like this other. He didn't do that. He said, Lord, you tell me to go in here, I'm going in here. And he'd sit down, and he'd get up and get ready to go, and his sister would begin to come into the restaurant and say, Brother Branham, is that you? Yes, I'm Brother Branham. So the Lord told me to be down here at 9 o'clock. What if he had been stubborn like some of us? I'm too busy, Lord. I don't got time to stop here. And he'd walk down the sidewalk, and the angel of the Lord would tell him, stop right here. But the hotel's just two blocks away, Lord, and they got air conditioning there, and I'd like to go up here, and I'd like to do this. And there's something on the, you know, I want to catch this news episode that's coming on, and I want to see what the weather is today, and I want to do all these things. And stop right here. And he'd stop, and the lady'd come up and say, Brother Branham? Yes, angel of the Lord told me to come and be standing here at 10 after 9. And here you are. And his wife and the lady with him and the kids would go on back to the hotel. He said, I just feel led to keep walking. And he walked down a few blocks and the angel of the Lord told him, stop again. Lord, you know how busy my schedule is. You know I got people around the world calling on me. And I got a stack of envelopes back home of people wanting me to come and pray for sick children and fly here. And I got airplane tickets and all these things. I got minister brothers that are wanting to meet me for supper. And I gotta go do this. Stop right here. Okay, Lord. I'll stop right here. And a lady would walk by and look back and forth and walk on down to the next block and come back and look. Are you Brother Branham? See, when God is Lord of your schedule, things begin to take place. He would get off of a plane in Memphis that was grounded, and he would go, and he had some letters to mail. They put him up in the nice Peabody Hotel there, the airline did, because of his plane delay. And so he'd get up the next morning, and he'd go down to mail some letters, and the Lord would tell him, just keep walking. So he'd walk, and he'd keep looking at his watch. Lord, that plane's about to leave. I better get back. Just keep walking. So he doesn't know where to go, and there's some nice fishing lures in the window, so he stands there and does some window shopping, and there's an Irish cop standing there swinging his baton. He said, I better not look there too long. Maybe he'll think I'm going to steal one of them, so just keep walking. And then he begins to walk into a little bit of district that, you know, maybe the wrong side of the tracks, and we think, Lord, I ain't going there. Them people ain't like me, and, you know, I ain't going out here into the West End or into this or that or the other. They might be doing drugs down there. They might rob me, or they might do this, or they might keep walking. But Lord, I'm a little concerned about my safety now. Keep walking. Amen. You're safer with him anywhere. Amen. Than getting out of his will. Keep walking. Okay, Lord, I'll keep walking. And he said, there, a little lady with a shirt tied around her head, standing there with dew on her back, said, morning, parson. Why? Because he let Jesus be Lord of his schedule. A man was healed that would have never been healed probably if he hadn't let Jesus be Lord of his schedule. A man delivered because Jesus was Lord of his schedule. Amen. May Jesus Christ be Lord of our schedule tonight. Let's bow our heads. Musicians, would you come tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes we get so upset and nervous in this age and running to and fro and busy schedules, hectic lives, go here, do that quickly, running behind, rushing here, rushing there, fast this, fast that, super this, super that. Oh, Lord, help us to take time out of our schedule to let you be Lord of our schedule, Lord. Lord, may we do that which is pleasing to you. Lord, may we take time, Father, to rest ourselves, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. Lord, may we rest up, Father, from the pressures of life. Take some time, Father. Get away alone with you for a little while. Shut in with God in a secret place. We don't got to tell everybody, hey, I'm going to my prayer closet. Look how spiritual I am. I'm going to my cave, or I'm going out in the woods, or I'm going on vacation to get alone with God. Look how spiritual I am. We don't have to tell anybody. Get alone with him. Shut in a secret place. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I've got decisions to make. I need your help, Lord. I need to lay here under the juniper tree for a while. And I need you to refresh my spirit, refresh my soul, refresh my energy, my body, Lord, my emotions. Lord, we get so nervous and so upset and so worked up and emotionally distraught. Lord, we need you to come and restore our strength, restore our joy, restore our peace, Lord. We need you to fill us back up so that we can empty back out, Lord, and help others. Lord, if we're just constantly emptying up and never filling up back up, Lord, then what will become of us, Lord? We'll be a breakdown on the side of the road somewhere, a nervous wreck or a shambles, Lord. Help us to take time for you. Help us to seek you, Lord. Help us to find a juniper tree somewhere, Lord, where we can rest up from the things in our life and find some comfort, find some strength, find some guidance, Lord. May you not only be Lord of our soul, may you not only be Lord of our decisions and Lord of our finances, Lord, we want you to be all those things, but Lord, help us to yield enough to you to where you could be Lord of our schedule, Lord of our itinerary, Lord, where we're going to go and what we're going to do and who we're going to fellowship with. And Lord, if it's something that's not pleasing to you, may we strike it from our schedule. If it's something that we know has no eternal value, Lord, we believe those things are okay, Father. It's okay to do things down here on earth too. But if our schedule gets so filled up with the temporary things, Lord, that we have no time for the eternal value, Lord, our priorities are wrong somewhere. Help us, Lord, to take time out for you. Help us to prioritize our time for you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, may each one here tonight, if they don't have a place like that, Lord, may they find a juniper tree where they can go and spend some time with you to rest up from the things of life and to find that still small voice that's trying to lead them and guide them. Help us, Jesus. Lord, may this tonight, Lord, I know it's helped me, but may it help others as well, Father. May it be something that catches their attention, Father. It makes them think about the way that, Lord, maybe they're using their time, Father, and may they use more of their time for you. May they set aside more time for you to speak to them and lead them and guide them, Father, I pray. Refresh us, Lord. Help us to retreat into you, Father, to have a little retreat, Father, to get aside and rest in your word and in your promises, to bask, Lord, in your presence and let you restore us, Lord. Restore our strength and restore all the things that, Lord, get taken from us from the battle, Lord. May we restore ourselves, Lord, and with the, Lord, the presence of God in our life and the word of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Oh, is that your desire tonight? Oh, Jesus, the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, Jesus, I surrender everything, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, be the Lord.
Amen. Dwell in you, oh, if that same spirit.
is well. All is well. Oh, we have heard the message long, and all is well. Oh, there is a place, a the Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. That all is well. Oh, all is well. All is well. Oh, we have heard the message long, and all is well.
Sing that verse once again.
There's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well. Is that your testimony tonight? Oh, all is well. Yes, all is well. Oh, we have a perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. Let's sing that little to the tune of Amazing Grace. Praise God.
Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Just praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
sing praise God as we go. God bless you. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just praise God. 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 Oh, praise God. 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 Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.